special episode of the Poofcast. We are going to be talking about sex for work.
Ooh.
It's coming up next.
Cha-ching. Australia is home to over 20 million people, literally some of whom are poofs. Poofs are a natural part of modern life, but like firearms, if mishandled, can cause irreparable damage and steal your good champagne. This summer, stop, think, be poof aware. Scenario: you are meeting a poof for the first time.
Hi, I'm Scott, and what do you do?
OMG, I had a boyfriend called Scott once. I'm cabin crew for Qantas, mainly Brizzy, Sydney, but sometimes Melbs. Depends on what those dizzy bitches in dispatch cook up for us.
And wait. Inviting a poof to talk about themselves can lead to up to 36 hours of non-stop self-indulgent ranting while you stand there. This can lead to starvation, deep vein thrombosis, and psychosis. Let's try that again, and this time, Scott, be poof aware.
Hi, I'm Scott. What a great t-shirt. There's someone in the next room wearing one just like it.
Stop. Think. Be poof aware. Be poof aware. Leave early or stay and exfoliate.
Well, this is the Poofcast with every gay in Australia.
Yes.
Right. Thomas, every flavour.
Thomas Jaspers is here. Wes Snelling. This is the fabulous Adam Richard. And the outrageous Scott Brennan. You have bought one of your friends.
I have. I've bought a little guest. It's show and tell.
A guest
soap. It's show and tell. Good morning, Mrs. Richard. Good morning, boss.
He's trying to prove that he's got friends outside.
Right.
I've never been described as little. That's really bad marketing.
Oh, God. Yes. I've bought in a hooker, everyone.
I would think they prefer the term whore.
Ah, yes.
Quite like whore.
Yeah. Well, there's a Christian Vega. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the Poofcast.
Hello, Poofcast. Hello. It's nice to be in you.
Oh, you're always on, aren't you?
I know.
She's always working. What's the invoice on that?
Yeah. I'm charging you by the minute. It's fine.
Now, you've got a lot. You wear a lot of hats, don't you?
I do. Ooh, am I still on? Here we go.
Yeah. Is that just for the sex working? Oh,
A lot of wigs. Okay. It's a burgeoning bald spot. No, that's not happening. No, I do. I have worn a lot of hats. I think when you sort of are, you know, a publicly out sex worker, there's suddenly all these opportunities that you can take in terms of advocacy or, you know, representation. So, yeah, I kind of just thrust myself in there.
You're thrusting yourself in here as well.
Yes.
I thought I'd give the community a few freebies. It's my way of giving back.
That's right. We are officially fucking your ears now, listeners.
So, Christian, as well as being a sex worker, you're a member of the sex party. Yeah,
yeah, that's right. I am the Victorian branch secretary.
Oh!
I've always wanted to be a secretary. Are you like Joan from Mad Men?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The heels aren't as good, though.
Really? Sit on my lap and take some shorthand.
I've heard you've got a very short hand.
Oh, God.
We're just...
Look what you've done to us, Christian.
It happens.
But tell us, how does one become a sex worker?
Yes, for all our 19-year-old listeners who've got nothing better to do.
That's right. No good at shorthand? Listen up.
Here's my long hand.
You wake up one day. No, I'm kidding. There's lots of different ways.
Well, how did I become one?
Well, I was one of those wayward youth who could not get along with his parents, so left home when I was about like 15 or 16 and hung out with other wayward youth in, you know, on Flinders Street steps back when it was fashionable.
And right.
It was never fair. Yeah.
There was a time.
It was fashionable to you.
Yeah. They were, you know.
No, I have a similar story. I used to hang out with some wayward youths.
Yeah.
And which is such a middle-aged phrase, by the way.
Wayward youths.
I prefer scallywags.
Street urchins.
Yes.
Waifs. Who uses urchins? What is this, Middle England?
Is that the Dark Ages? Sorry, the Dark Ages was Scott's nickname in high school.
Oh, God.
So, Christian.
Anyway.
Yes, hung out with wayward youth, waifs and urchins.
Yes.
And it was something a few of my friends did. And, like, I never actually, and so I hung out with them a lot. And, you know, when you're homeless and young and everything's, like, fun and, woo, just go wherever.
Yeah.
And I didn't actually plan on being a sex worker, but like a whole bunch of my friends were hanging out in St. Kilda, and it was my job to mind the wine cask while everyone was going
off. While they went off and gave gobbies.
Oh, wow.
I'm that person in my group of friends.
No, Wes, you're the wine cask.
Mind?
Yeah, you're the silver bladder. That was your nickname in high school.
Yeah, so one day everybody was off doing their thing and I was left there with, you know,
the wine cask.
The wine cask. Mm-hmm. And a bright blue Barina pulled up with some 23-year-old guy.
Oh, God, yes.
And Trevor Ashley.
Yeah. And, yeah, I abandoned my wine-minding duties to go and...
Right.
Yeah. Now, we should point out that this is not a legally sanctioned activity. Like, you can be a legal sex worker.
Yes. But which I am now. But I've come good.
Working on the streets is not advisable because there's no protections.
Well, yes.
Legal protections is, you know.
But for our international listeners and listeners in other states, it is legal in New Zealand. You can work on the street. You can work on the street in New South Wales.
Right. Legally. Wow, right.
Yeah.
Only special streets or any street?
I believe
just
it is.
To the Westfield.
Grab a red spot special.
If you've got red spots, I'd stay away from that.
Stay away, yes.
Yeah, have some time off. Then it would be special. Yeah. It is sort of... As I understand, it happens on designated streets. But in Victoria, it is completely illegal.
It is illegal.
Yeah, we do not condone.
Do you think that's a good thing?
Well, it would have been easier for me if it wasn't illegal.
Did you get in trouble?
Well, I never got in trouble, but there were some sticky situations where, you know, being able to sort of tell people about what happened without being worried about them turning around and charging me would have been, a useful situation. But that's not how it played out. But, I had a lot of friends around me at the time who were all doing the same thing. So we kind of looked out for each other and,
From what I understand, is the Prostitutes Collective still running?
The Prostitutes Collective is no longer running. It hasn't been around for about 10 years now.
Because they used to have a wall of people not to go near on the street.
Yeah.
They had
The Ugly Mugs program.
The Ugly Mugs program, yeah.
So the Prostitutes...
So where do street prostitutes, because there will still be street prostitutes who have difficulties for one way or another, for one reason or another, getting legal work.
Mm-hmm.
Would they... Got turned to for support nowadays?
So street-based sex workers have been happening in St. Kilda forever. Yeah. At least 100 years.
The dawn of time.
Yeah, yeah. There were dinosaur hookers.
Yeah.
Right. In St. Some of them are still working.
Being nice. They're lovely ladies. And so
they used to be nice gentlemen.
They were. And then Grindr came along and killed it. It's true. Street-based sex work has been happening forever, so the council, a lot of the community services and the police, they know that if they go hard on street-based sex workers, they're not going to go or leave or disappear.
Yeah, it's not going to actually do anything. Yeah.
No.
They just kind of turn a blind eye to it more than anything.
Well, or be a bit more supportive. Yeah. So, yes, they have a job, yes, they're supposed to, enforce the law or whatever, but, there's also a consciousness around, making sure people are safe or as safe as possible. And working with what we've got. I mean, if the law was sort of supportive of street-based sex workers, it would totally change the roles that different parts of the community would play. But, we're in conservative times. It's not happening right now.
Are there brothels that have many male sex workers? Is there much of a demand, or is it one of those things where there's, three jobs and that's it?
Well, in Victoria, the planning regulations to open a brothel are so difficult. It has to be in an industrial estate. It has to be 100 metres from the nearest house or 200 metres from the nearest church, school or place frequented by children. So it makes it really, really hard to open a brothel. And as such, although there are 94 licensed brothels with female sex workers, there's only one with male sex workers.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. And it's
in a city of 3 million people.
I know, right?
Yeah. Wow, they'd be busy.
I don't think they are.
That's why they have to put them in an industrial estate, because the smell of burning rubber would just
It does make it a challenge. But it's really hard, because like although there's laws restricting and controlling the sex industry, there's nothing around things like working conditions or pay rates or anything. So in most brothels, there's this standard split of whatever the client pays, the sex worker gets 60% and the brothel gets 40%.
Oh, that's like my cleaner.
And she always fucks up the bathroom.
Oh, she's useless.
She didn't come from a brothel. No. But what sort of like maintains that unspoken rule is that because there are like 94 brothels for females, if one brothel sort of
is unscrupulous,
yeah, and acts outside of that, well, all the sex workers could just get up and leave and go to another one. But when for male sex workers, if you've only got one brothel, they can just turn around and go, oh, we're going to take 70% of the booking fee, and you can have 30.
Yeah,
and
there's no Hungry Jack's next to the McDonald's.
No, there is no.
Well, there is, but it's a street, and you can be arrested.
For
working there.
So, I'm really interested that the street thing's still happening. I mean, you see these dollar signs on Grindr and Manhunt and all that sort of stuff. I would have thought that the internet was the new version of the street.
Yes. Well, in a lot of ways it is, right. And that's why
that's still technically not legal.
not at all. But
Well, it isn't. It's
warmer. Like the escort part of it is okay.
Yeah.
It's just you're not meant to touch ugly.
But funnily
Isn't
enough,
that how it works?
If you're like I'm a legally registered private escort.
Right.
Grindr won't let me advertise.
All right.
An escort. Yeah. So that's why you see all these people with dollar signs.
Yeah. Very very subtle. That's all. Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell us about your sex work now that you're illegal and you've got the paperwork.
Yeah.
Because you work with quite specific clientele a lot of the time.
Oh, well,
don't you?
I'm very inclusive of a lot of groups that people might have a few anxieties around or might have the afraids about. So I try to be very equal opportunity about the clients that I get.
So you'll fuck good looking people and ugly ones.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
We're both in.
It's so vain. Everyone has a chance.
That's right.
I remember one of my hooker friends, when I started to put on a bit of weight and I was getting changed in front of him one day, and I've always been quite hairy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was about 100 kilos at the time. Now I'm 140. I know. And he went, oh my God, you look like a client.
That
for him was the ultimate insult.
Oh my God. Wow.
See, my clients are lovely and they do come in all shapes and sizes.
Yeah, but you weren't like 32-year-old.
Yeah.
Hooker giving hand jobs to whoever could turn up at the park. Anyway.
Anyway. 31-year-old. So in my advertising, I'm quite proactive about saying that, yes, I will see clients who have a disability.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I will see clients who are HIV positive. And it's a funny thing though, because it's actually illegal to do that, like to describe your services.
Oh really?
Oh wow!
Yeah. So,
but on the reverse, is it like it must be? There must be much more stigma for say you turn up to someone's residence and they've booked you, and you go, oh no. Yeah, I'm not doing that.
No,
and people would do that, surely.
Sure. There is no sort of, sex worker board of commerce where you can write a letter to and complain about something.
The sex worker ombudsman.
Yeah.
50-50 in the Herald Sun.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be an amazing job? You just sat there
going, this guy wouldn't suck me off because I only had one leg.
He couldn't find it.
Are you talking about my fat gut again?
Stop it. But no, but, you know, so sex work, because in Victoria it isn't sort of recognised that way in a sort of like a job like any other job, they sort of stop us from advertising things like, you know, my service is sex worker friendly, because even though I've been fully trained to provide services to people with disabilities and I'm very open-minded.
There's training for that?
Yeah, there is.
Oh my God, that's
there's
awesome.
A whole organisation that's just made up of sex workers and people with a disability, and they do things like advocate for law reform or work with carers and support agencies to sort of build an awareness of the sexuality of people with a disability, as well as, you know, I guess build that bridge for access to the sex industry for people with a disability. So, and they'll also provide training for sex workers to be able to see people with a disability. And that organisation's name is Touching Base, and you can look them up in your web search.
Oh, we'll, right. we'll pop a link to them on the Talking Puffy website, talkingpuffy.com.au.
So, do you, like, is most of your kind of sex work, do you have regulars, or is it kind of one-offs, or is it like what?
So, I'm very casual about my sex work. So, I have a day job as well. So, I tend to fit my clients around my day job and my boyfriend and doing, you know, a whole bunch of other stuff.
You are busy.
I'm not, I'm a workaholic.
I can barely have sex for fun.
When there's a will, there's a way.
How is Will? I haven't seen him for a while.
He's great. He's in Egypt. So, yes, no, I do see regulars. And if you want to, you can push your advertising. You can, like, you know, get on sort of gaydars and whatever that you're allowed to sort of advertise through and really, really hustle it. So, if you know, if you want work, it's out there if you put in the time to sort of trawl ads and do that if you want to. Or you can just leave your ad up there and see who calls during the week. That's pretty much what I do. Or I'll tour as well, because Melbourne's a really, really hard... Well, Victoria's a really hard state to work from, because you can't do things like... You can't work from home can't work from a hotel room or anything. And the majority of clients actually want to come and see you because, you know, they don't want you coming to their house.
Well, especially if someone has, you know, the kind of disability that they require 24-hour care.
Yeah.
They may be living with their parents other loved ones.
Exactly.
They don't want, you know...
Or it's like...
They don't want this camp thing coming over going, hi!
I've come over to suck off your son. Where's my 50? Give him a 50. I've just...
Oh, he's made a mess in my hair.
Yes, there are all of those stories. So, yeah, it's really hard to work in Melbourne. So, yeah, I do tend to travel.
So, you're kind of like, I'm going to Sydney for 2 weeks, or I'm going to Adelaide for...
Yeah, or anywhere that you can work from home, which is basically everywhere else except Victoria.
Right. Victoria.
So, are you... you know, because you do a lot of sort of advocacy work, stuff like that. Are you pushing for law reform?
Constantly.
Is there, like... because, you know, the whole thing with brothels and stuff, is there a possibility for you as, say, freelancer to use the facilities at a brothel to meet someone, or is that not a done thing either?
Brothel owners really don't like private workers. It's like, they think that we sort of eat into their business, although there's a lot of...
Or eat out.
Sorry. We're talking about sex work and still we're doing terrible innuendo.
I know.
I'm pretty sure the other layer of understanding is gone.
I know. We're at single entendre now.
Entendre. What were we talking about?
Going to brothels
Using their facility. So, if you can sort of strike a relationship with a brothel owner or licensee, they let you sort of, because the service they're providing is basically you get room rental by the hour. Yeah. So you'd think that the process would be a lot easier to borrow a room from a brothel. I'm lucky because I'm male, I can go to a female brothel and they won't perceive me as competition.
Yeah.
I do sort of sneak in the back door that way sometimes.
Stop saying back door.
Stop saying sneak in.
In. Just keeps going. So, you do have to work out sort of these, you know, sneaky, secret squirrel ways of working.
Now, from the other side, say, you know, I was someone with a disability and I wanted to hire someone to provide that particular service. Mm-hmm. How, you know, because I'm at possibly disadvantaged, can't, you know, I'm not that mobile, how do I know I'm going to get someone who is trustworthy and is not going to while I sit in front of them in my chair, mm-hmm. make off with my CD collection.
Well, have first of all, Adam, no one's before. Going to steal your CD.
Well, no, I know. My Mariah Carey shrine is the lock and key.
Nobody wants that, even if it is autographed.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah, so in Victoria, it's really, really hard because we can't say that in our advertising. But Touching Base does run a referral service.
Oh, wow.
As well. So, I mean, that's a national referral service. So they go around training up all these sex workers to see people with a disability. And they go, oh, do you want to be on our referral list? And then so people, and even like carers and support services have called up that service to find a referral for a sex worker.
Cool, right.
Yeah, see someone, yeah.
So there is somewhere, you know, you can always go to Touching Base and go, look, this guy's bad news. He took my shoes and my shirt. Yeah. Take him off your list.
Yeah. Yeah. An ombudsman in a
community way.
So just in terms of like carers, for mm-hmm. example, and the groups, like what's the attitude? Are they kind of, you know, some carers are a bit more kind of on top of that thing than mm-hmm. others? Are they kind of, would there be carers that go, no, you can't have sex and I'm not going to allow it? Or like what's the attitude amongst?
Funnily enough, the more sort of, the closer they are to the actual coalface, so working with the people who have a disability, the more sympathetic they are because they can recognise the person that they're working with as a whole human being. Mm. And this person, you know, every human being has a sexuality, and when you can't express that sexuality, it sort of manifests itself in all sorts of other issues. So, you know, as well as, you know, mental health issues, it sort of becomes like problematic behaviour, the way for some people become really, really inappropriate in public and stuff like that. There's lots of like little examples. But a lot of that is behavior of unmet need. So everybody has a need to express their sexuality. And if they can't do that, it's something else happens.
Yeah. Like, it's like kind of a valve popping or something.
This
yeah.
is why I expose myself to my work colleagues.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, Adam, pants on.
Yeah.
Pants on now. Come on, I know. This is where Hamish and Annie do Pants Off Friday. It's normal here.
Yeah, but they wear underwear.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how people get crabs, you know.
Yeah. I thought crabs were dying because of all the Brazilians.
They are. Yeah, something like that. They're going endangered. Yeah. Someone called WWF.
Crabs are on the endangered species list. It's all right. They're still well, alive and well at the Laird.
Yeah. I actually think the community. The Laird's actually got funding to preserve.
Amazing.
Anyway, you were talking about carers and the
So carers and families surprisingly can be really, really supportive. I'm not, and I'm being very general here. Of course, there's going to be someone with a moral issue against blah-de-blah.
Yeah.
But on the whole,
see, he's just doing them on his own now.
I've been hanging around you for way too long. But generally, carers and family members tend to be quite supportive. It's when you start moving up bureaucracy, so management, department, that's when it starts to get a little bit difficult. But more and more and more people are starting to understand that there is a sort of a need around expressing sexuality and recognising the sexuality of people who have a disability. Because for a really long time, a lot of people just thought, you know, you've got cerebral palsy, you're in a wheelchair, you don't have a sexuality, and it's not true.
No.
Now, this is something I'm.
You can't have a freebie.
I don't want a freebie. I've always had kind of a preconceived notion that to do sex work, you must have some kind of disconnect with the people you're having sex with.
Right.
Is there still like a level of intimacy? Is there a level of passion to it? Or is it like, you know, sticking your dick through a hole in the toilet wall?
It's a really good question. If you wanted to treat it like that, it certainly can be. Yeah. And see, this is the problem with not having a cert for in harlotry. Like, you don't get to learn the approach. So,
oh yeah, I learned harlotry at Box Hill Tate.
Yeah, yeah. I got high distinction.
Because I put my box right on that.
The things you do for extra credit. I could go on and on.
Oh, my God.
I love harlotry.
Hooker school.
Yeah, yeah.
So for a lot of us who've done it for a very long time who sort of identify sex work as like a calling, if you like.
So you're like a rude nun.
For the right price.
Spoke to me.
Mary spoke to me and she said, "You go suck that cock. Suck it."
Oh, I've spent all day on my knees. Oh, getting the oh God, the body of Christ made me gag. Oh.
Sorry.
Sorry, yes.
You were answering my very serious question.
I know. Adam was serious for us. It's such a novel experience.
I know, it's unusual. It happens once a month.
Must be that time.
It is.
So there can be a disconnect if you want there to be.
Yeah.
But I found like trying to maintain that disconnect to be really, really hard. And it started to have a bit of a toll on the way I started. Because I did this thing when I first started, right, where I had to have as much play sex as I did work sex. And it just meant that I didn't sleep ever. So
you didn't make no money.
Yeah, I was broke. Anyway, but then I got to a point where it's like, actually, this is a part of who I am. And, you know, to have sex with someone does require a lot of personal energy, if you like. And what you learn if you want to keep doing sex work is how to manage that. So understanding very healthy boundaries around, you know, what is mine and what is the client's.
Yeah.
And you know, having things like a boyfriend or, you know, having personal sex as well, lots of it, is you get to learn, you know, what the difference is between work sex and not work sex.
Yeah.
And so that level of, I guess, some people would call professionalism is what sort of keeps you healthy in your job. And that's like any other job. Like, you know, so you'll get a lot of teachers who over-identify with their students if they're like little children.
They become like parents.
Exactly. And that can sort of, and nobody talks about sort of the unhealthy I guess stuff that can come out of doing that. But with sex workers it's an automatic, oh, there must be all these personal issues around intimacy and stuff. But it's a legitimate question.
But I think about it when I do stand up, like, you know, there'll be days where I'm just like, oh, I just cannot be bothered. I feel really sick, I'm tired, I can't be bothered. But you know, there's 300 or 400 people who've all paid about $30 to come and have a good time, and I have to give them one.
Yeah.
And you do. Like, when you get out there, it's, you know, Dr. Showbiz takes over.
They pay a lot more, though.
Well, you don't do 400 people at once.
That's what you think.
but you know what I mean? It's like thing where you just go, I'm just not in the mood for having fun today.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. Clients aren't paying for you to be their boyfriend well. So, you know, yes, you're there and you create intimacy and you're doing something really, really personal and, you know, you're bumping uglies and whatever. And that's all, you know, well and good and great. But I guess how much you want to throw yourself into it depends on you. And, you know, I'm really lucky because, you know, because we charge so much, we can do things like take time out and manage burnout and all of that kind of stuff. So, you know, it can be an emotionally draining job. It can be a very, very personal job. It doesn't have to be, but it can be. But it also gives you sort of the flexibility and the resources to be able to go, you know what, I want to go to Thailand for 2 weeks now.
Okay.
And you just pack up and go.
So you can.
Burning question then.
Topical cream.
Yeah.
If or penicillin.
Someone wanted to, you know, like if someone was living off it, how often a week would you have to work? Like, is it paid that well that you can just sort of do it every now and then kind of a thing? Or
it can.
Yeah.
So a lot of there's a lot of sex workers for whom it is their full-time income. And if you've got, you know, if you've got full time to dedicate to it, you can certainly work enough to live very comfortably.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people have this misconception that sex workers are just rolling in money.
Okay. No, that's the thing. Like, I'm sure that people aren't throwing millions of dollars away on it annually. So.
Yeah. Oh, some people are.
Yeah.
I want those numbers.
Football players.
I had a friend who used to, like, you know, he'd go, oh, I'm just going to go to the shops. And then he'd come back with McDonald's. So everyone would be like, where did you get that money? He goes, I gave a hand shandy on the way home. It's like, he just would have popped down the street, seen if there was any work.
I do that. I need to start charging for it.
Yeah.
Thing? Oh, God.
It does have its benefits. No, look, it can be a full-time job if you want it to be.
But, like, if you wanted, like, a standard, you know, person's wages and live normally.
If you wanted to pay off a mortgage, do you have, for instance.
Yeah.
Do you have to be doing it nightly?
Just ask it. Just say.
How much do you get?
So the way I sort of describe it is sex workers earn an average income. So we might earn anywhere between 45 and 75 grand a year on average.
Yeah.
It's just that we don't work 40 hours a week to do that. So quite often we're doing things like studying or looking after kids or whatever.
Or working in the priesthood.
To do that. So it's comfortable. It's comfortable living.
And different sex workers would obviously make different amounts of money. Like, people who are really in demand could charge a lot more.
What
do you
reckon I could get?
Yeah. I think that was the question I was going to ask.
Because, Thomas, if you look around the four of us, we all technically work in the entertainment industry. But I'm sure if you looked at our group certificates, the numbers are very different.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
What's a group certificate?
It's a special service that Christian offers.
That's for the night before a wedding.
We just want to get bummed off one more time.
Can I ask a question that might be relevant to what you're asking as well? Which how many jobs or sessions, what do you call them?
I call them jobs.
Jobs, yeah.
Johnny.
How many jobs a day do you reckon you could jam in?
If I was like really, really working hard, it's hard to say in Melbourne because I work so casually and I have a day job and all these other things. But like on tour, I've jammed something like 6 jobs in a day.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know.
So that must be exhausting.
Look, it can be, but it's like, you know, that's 6 hours.
I guess you're lying down a lot of the time.
It's not back to back either.
And it's fun. Like, forget, like, you know, when we say, oh my God, that gig last night was exhausting.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, 95% of it was fucking awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's very much the same for sex workers. Like, you kind of leave a job and it's like 2 o'clock in the morning and you're like, and you're like, I'm going to go out. And like, it's Wednesday night and at 2 a.m. in the morning, it's like, nobody else is
The other thing with sex work is, you know, no one really thinks about what the sex worker gets out of it, which in some with a lot of people would be being absolutely desired by someone for, you know,
absolutely
30 or 60 minutes, depending on the book.
Yeah.
but having someone be completely into them. Like,
What do you get out of it, Christian?
It's funny.
Cash.
There's that. That's the obvious. But I think that's a really unique thing, what Adam was describing, that sex workers do get. And a lot of people do identify that as one of the reasons why they do work. We have a really, really highly developed sense of body image. So, you know, I don't go to the gym every day. I don't have abs. I don't, you know, on the BMI scale, I'm not fit. but still, people like look at my ads, they'll call me, they'll have a chat with me, and I know that that person is totally into me, you know.
Yeah.
And it kind of says to me, you know, all of that stuff that, you know, newspapers say and magazines say and television around what is beautiful and what is sexy is actually rubbish.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, what is desirable is actually who you are and what you do. Mm. You know, in that we have to extend that to our clients as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have to accept bodies as being beautiful because it's really hard to look at someone and go, oh, wow, you're really unattractive. And then having to try to work with that.
Yeah.
It's not within.
You've got to embrace them in a way.
Yeah, though. Yeah. So you
and everyone has something attractive about them.
Absolutely. Mm.
Even if it's their personality.
And even if it's their dog.
Even if it's the silence they leave behind when they leave the room. Oh, thank God.
Remember that time you had sex with the blind guy and Rebecca Dinamino fed the dog?
Yeah.
There's sorry, when he there. Said, when he said anyway, the dog.
dog.
Even if it's their dog.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I read it a blind guy once. He had a lovely dog. Anyway, Christian, what else do you, getting out of it, what else do you?
Oh, so, there's the time to be able to do other things. So, like, I work in, you know, community services where you get paid shit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but it's work that I really love and I really believe in. It's with people who you can identify with. And, you know, community service workers get paid crap. But, you know, we love the work. We're not doing it for the money. So, it's nice to be able to still do something that means I can live comfortably on top of all of that. So, yeah.
And you're making, you're like the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
I've been called worse.
If your last wish is to have sex with Christian, you can contact us at the book.
That's right.
Counseltalkingbuffet.com.au. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Christian, for coming in.
This has been fascinating. Fascinating.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, so
it's been a whole episode.
I'll invoice you.
Yeah. It's fine.
Okay.
I brought in a friend. Did I do good? See, I'm getting it. They're desiring me because I brought you in. Uh-huh. You see, so I get
We've been doing this podcast for 3 years, and this is the most effort he's made. He's calling a hooker.
I've done that once when you turn up to a job and you realise it's sitting down at a family dinner.
Oh.
Really?
So you're like a date.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, oh, I'm pretending to be your girlfriend, Marianne.
Oh, wow.
And did you recognise her dad from another job?
You know what? That probably would have made it easier.
Whoa. Well, thank you so much, Christian.
Oh, it's been
very, very edifying.
Oh, yay.
That's a word, isn't it?
Yeah, that is.
I'm sure it applies.
Well, considering we've got no more room for anything in this podcast, we'll be back next week.
Yay!
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Are we ready?
Yeah, let me turn my phone off.
Yeah.
You don't want to get a booking halfway through. Yeah.
Sorry, I have to look out now.
Sorry, busy.
It has happened.
I love how now Scott has checked whether his is off. We've been recording for 3 hours.
No, it's off. No. I was actually just laughing at Christian's text message. Hi, where's your entrance? Oh, it's okay. I can see it now.
I'm across the road. I can see it from here.
Yeah, God, you can see it from space.
You can see the Guatemalan sink hole from
That's right. Talk poofy to me.